Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Gracious Father, once again we come before You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace, our righteousness, our joy, our salvation, yea, our all in all. Without Him we are nothing. Forgive us, our God, of our low view of Christ and our all too high view of ourselves so many times. Bless us to be more submissive unto You and Your holy will. Forgive us of our indifference and our grasping of the things of this world. May we hold them loose in our hands. We long for the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, my God, that You would bless us to love and serve You with all diligence. And we thank You that we have a high priest that is in the heavens at Your right hand, that is making intercessions for us. And we can come and obtain mercy and grace and help in time of need. Thank You, God, for Your faithfulness, for Your love, and for Your devotion. We thank You for who You are and the greatness of Your being. Give us an understanding of You, that we may live as You would have us to live in this world. We pray in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're still in Ephesians chapter 1, looking at Paul's prayer there in that last part of this chapter. And we were looking last Lord's Day with prayer for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And we talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation and kindly dwelt on the spirit and what all that may entail. And I didn't notice until after everything closed out, there was one little section that I overlooked. And I want to go back and get that first thing this morning, and that is some of the various ways that the Spirit is works and is given to us. When we think about God's Spirit given to us, many times we only think about the new birth. But there is more to it than that, and I'm not going to go in great depths on it, but I did want to make this mention and make this point this out to us just by way of a general overcast or overview of it, that the Spirit comes to us in various ways, and the Spirit sometimes moves upon individuals, and they're not even children of God. Now, just giving one example, it was the influence of the Lord through the operation of the Holy Spirit that made Balaam's donkey talk. And so we have to realize that that donkey wasn't a child of God. And God leads and guides and directs many ways, and it is through the operation of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit can rest upon an individual for a particular reason, and they may or may not be a child of grace. Some of these we're going to look, they most likely are, but anyway, let's go first of all to Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. while you're turning there, and this came to my mind, and I don't have it written down, so lest I forget it, I want to make mention of it. You remember when they were bringing Christ to trial, and the high priest said that it was expedient for one man to suffer instead of the whole nation? That's in the book of John. And it said that he, being the high priest, prophesied of the death of Christ. Well, he didn't know he was prophesying of the death of Christ. He was saying, it's better that we kill this man than to have the Roman government down upon our whole head, all of us. And it's better that we kill him than all of us be dead. And so he wasn't even trying to do anything spiritually. And yet, the Lord overshadowed that man to say that, and it's through the operation of the Holy Spirit, and there's no indication that that man was a lover of Christ. And so, that's just another one that came to mind, and like I said, I just thought of it, and so I didn't want to forget it. But in Deuteronomy 34, Moses passed off the scene, or is passing off the scene. And we find here, I'll just read beginning verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now, just by way of what we're talking about, who is it that kept Moses from being old? He was 120 years old, but he still is strong. His eyesight was still as good as it ever had been. It was the Spirit of God that blessed him to do that. We say God did it, but God in His operation of His Holy Spirit kept Moses' body that way. And so that was not necessarily because he was a child of God. It wasn't necessarily because he wasn't. What I'm saying is, that's just an influence of the Holy Spirit upon him. Several years ago, most of you know that I guess what you would call a purist in being a health food follower, because I still eat junk food every once in a while and things of that nature. But I was reading after this man about fasting, and he was saying that by fasting and following his way of eating, he expected to live 120 years old like Moses did. Now, come to find out, that man was a fraud. Some of the things he wrote about in his book he hadn't even experienced or anything like that. But some people do live to be old, and some do not. And it's only because of the Lord that we do. And I believe that eating good and taking care of your body in a physical way and all of that has its blessings and its advantages. And on the average, a person would live longer and healthier while he's living if they do those things. But it's still of the Lord. So, anyway, I won't take up more time than that. Verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. There was a transfer of power from Moses to Joshua. It is not that Moses gave Joshua that spirit. God gave Joshua the spirit. God gave Joshua the wisdom. But Moses transferred the power of leadership. Of course, God had directed him to do so. And Moses had already said that Joshua would be the one to take his place and lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. That's in, I think it's in the previous chapter, but all it's all he has already stated all of that. And so Moses laid his hand on Joshua. He transferred the power from himself to Joshua, but he didn't transfer the spirit from himself to Joshua. And when I say he transferred the power, I'm talking about the authority. He transferred the authority to Joshua and said, Joshua is now the leader of the children of Israel. And as a result of that, or in conjunction with that, I would better say, than as a result of it, the Lord put the spirit of wisdom on Joshua to be the leader. Now, this was not making Joshua a leader. This was not making Joshua a believer. Joshua was already a leader and a believer. Joshua had already led the children of Israel in battle and things of that nature, though he hadn't led them in the famous battle that he's known for at Jericho at that time. And so we find that, you remember when Joshua was fighting the Amalekites and Moses, they had to hold Moses' hand up. And Joshua was the leader of the army then. So, all of that didn't make Joshua a leader. He was already a leader. It was just time for Moses to pass off the scene and for Joshua to come on the scene. And as a and in conjunction with that, the spirit of wisdom was given to Joshua to be the leader. Very likely there were many other men in the camp that were just as, well, I don't know whether to say just as faithful or not, because only Joshua and Caleb, when they came back from spying out the land, said we were able to go and take the land. But anyway, there may have been other men in the camp of Israel that were just as, what we would say, qualified as Joshua. But he was not the man, they were not in the place that Joshua was. And so God gave the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, to Joshua to be the leader. That was the spirit resting on Joshua for a particular ministry, as it were. Go back to Numbers chapter 11. We'll see this same thing. Numbers chapter 11. Beginning at verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Now, what do we find here? God is blessing Moses to have some other helpers with him. We know that Moses, there for a while, he was just doing all of the judging, as it were. There was any matter or any cause come up, it all came before Moses. Moses, and he's about to wear himself down. And so, he gives 70 other men to come along. And so it said, he took the spirit that was on Moses and put on these 70 men. Well, he didn't take everything off of Moses and put it on those men. And he didn't take anything away from Moses as the Spirit in himself, what he had. He still maintained the wisdom that he had, but then these 70 men were given wisdom from God to be able to be judges in the camp as well. It's for the Spirit of God came upon them. It had nothing to do with regeneration. It had nothing to do with what people normally think of with regard to the Spirit. And then in 1 Samuel, chapter 16. This is when Samuel went before Jesse to anoint David, and Jesse brought all of his other children before him. And after Samuel had gone through all the children except for David, verse 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. David was a handsome man, in other words. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. This is not regeneration. This is not falling from grace for Saul. In other words, the Spirit of God had been upon Saul as a leader. And he had wisdom and understanding in order to lead the children of Israel. But he had violated the Word of God. And so God took that spirit off Saul and put it on David. And now David has the wisdom to be the leader. See, it had nothing to do with falling from grace. It had nothing to do with David being born again. It had nothing to do with Saul being lost. It all has to do with the ministry. And it has to do with the Spirit being given to David and taken from Saul in the way of a special ministry. And while some people maintain that Saul was a child of God and some do not, and there's the age-old argument about it, though it looks kindly questionable to my mind as to whether he really was or not, this has nothing to do with Saul's position as a believer or an unbeliever before the Lord. And Saul has more the traits of an unbeliever than he might have even appeared to have any as being a believer, in my opinion. But you don't want to get the wrong idea when it said, But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord left him, and all Saul needed to have an evil spirit is just be left to himself. God's not the author of sin, has no fellowship with it. And so, but no doubt he allowed an evil spirit to come. You remember on one occasion with regard to Ahab, and Jehoshaphat when they were going to go against the enemy. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat were sitting there, and all of Ahab's prophets said, "Go up, you're going to be victorious, you're going to be victorious, and everything's going to be all right." And finally Jehoshaphat said, "Is there any other prophets around?" And Ahab said, "Yeah, I've got one, old Micaiah, but he never says anything good. I've got him in prison." And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, let's hear what he has to say." So Micaiah went, and the guy went, took Micaiah out of prison and said, "Now listen, everybody else has said Saul's going to be victorious. If you want things to go smoothly with you, you better tell him the same thing." Micaiah said, "I can only say what God tells me to say." But Micaiah went there and sarcastically said, "Yeah, go up. Everything's going to be all right." And Ahab said, "How many times have I ever called you and you've done this to me?" He said, "What? Tell me the truth." And he said, "You're going to be killed." And one of the other prophets, false prophets, smote him. And anyway, the short of the long story is that Micaiah said, "God sent an evil spirit," because there was a conference and all of these angels came before the Lord, and the Lord said, "How am I going to get Ahab to go into battle?" This is paraphrasing. And a lying spirit came before God and said, "I will go and be a lying spirit to Ahab." And God said, "Go." God allowed the lying spirit to go. God allowed an evil spirit to be upon Saul from this day forward. It's a dangerous thing to reject God's word. Alright, while this next point may be somewhat overlapping from what we've just covered, the Spirit may abide in a person by giving this person particular talents. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody doesn't have the same talents. This is quite obvious. I believe I said 2 Corinthians, I meant 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some people have more talent to do various things than others, and that's given to them of the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin at verse 8. "For to one is given," now we read this last Lord's Day in showing something else, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and so on comes from God. Verse 8 again, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith." Now this is not regenerating faith. This is talking about people. Some people have more faith in some things than others. Some people are more of a doubtful spirit. But anyway, faith. "To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Divers of tongues. Interpretation of tongues," and so on. In other words, and that's, you know, different people. And some of those talents or gifts back then, we don't have today. Some we may still have, and so on. But the thing about it is, that's not the important thing. The important thing is, whatever talent you have, whatever gifts and abilities you have, is given to you by the Lord. And so God gives the Spirit, gives various talents to individuals, and they may not even be Christian. Beethoven was an atheist. He wrote some beautiful music. Some beautiful music. And so, who gave him that talent to do that? God did. And he did not use it to the glory of God. Bach was another musician. But he wrote all of his stuff, and many a times on the score that he wrote it, he said something in effect to the glory of God. He wanted to glorify God in what he wrote and as he wrote his music. And so you have all kinds of people. You've got all kinds of smart fools out there in the world. They're wise. They've got a lot of wisdom. They've got a lot of knowledge. They've got a lot of understanding. Why, it was two atheists that discovered the DNA and the RNA molecule. And with all of their wisdom and what they discovered, at least it was credited to them. I believe there was others that were involved that got cheated out of the recognition. But of all of their wisdom, they didn't glorify God in it. But it was the Spirit of the Lord that gave them those talents. And so we need to realize that. And so this is another way that the Spirit works. Now we've seen it resting on for a particular ministry. We've seen it for particular talents. And then we also know that believing is by the Spirit of the Lord. We all know John 3:8. Let's turn there. I just went blank and can't even quote it. I get various words and they just come and go. Without God, I can't even preach. John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God regenerates those whom He will. God gives eternal life, Jesus said, that He gave eternal life to as many as God gave Him. John 17:3. And here the Spirit of God blows upon an individual and gives an individual divine life. And you can do whatever you want to do. You can pray for the individual. You can talk to the individual. You can witness to the individual and all of that. But it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates the heart. Your talking, your praying, your witnessing, or whatever you do does not change the heart. It is God that changes the heart by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, then we shouldn't talk, we shouldn't pray, we shouldn't witness. No, that's not the point. We should do all of those things. We just need to realize and know that it is God that makes the change. You say, well, why should we do all that other? Because God said so. And then another way the Holy Spirit is given to us, is given to us so that we might grow and develop as a believer through the knowledge of the Scriptures. And this is what Paul was praying for here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. This is what Paul is praying for here in Ephesians, that they might grow in grace, but it's going to be through the knowledge of the Word of God. That the God, Paul said, making mention of them in his prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Paul did not pray for the Ephesian saints to have wisdom and revelation of God apart from knowing about God and knowing God. When someone tells me that they know God and understand God, and they don't even read and study the Bible, it doesn't take long for me to talk to them and realize and know they don't know much about God. Because they have a lot of ideas and opinions that are not according to the Scriptures. And when you try to point it out to them, they usually get mad at you. Though the request for wisdom and revelation of God, it does not come automatically. It comes through knowledge. Salvation is by grace, but this salvation, this eternal life, is not without knowledge. It is not without knowledge. I would challenge anyone to find me a believer in the Scriptures that didn't know about God. I'm talking about know the truth about God. This idea that God has multiplied millions of individuals that don't know God and they'll be in heaven is not found in the Bible. That came out of the cranium of some man. It did not come out of the Word of God. And God has given us this Spirit of truth. God has given us this Spirit of truth that we, to lead us into the knowledge and the truth of God, so that we might live as Christians in this dark world. Go back to our scripture reading in John 14. John 14. Why is it that we have the Spirit of truth? Well, we're going to see. John 14. Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you, and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. The Trinity, the whole Trinity is involved here. Jesus said earlier in this, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. If I'm with you, the Father's with you." So we have God with us in the Spirit. And He's the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead one of His children to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. And if somebody does something and it's a contrary to the Word of God, and they say, "Well, Spirit of the Lord led me." That's not true. That's not true. If a believer marries an unbeliever, they're going against the Spirit of God. If a person commits a sin and they refuse to repent, that's contrary to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, I do not know how much truth, and there's no, there's no verse of Scripture nor group of verses in the Scripture that indicates how much truth a child of grace will know, or how little truth a child of grace will know. But this much I do know, they'll know the truth about Christ. They'll know that the only salvation they have is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God will not give His glory to another. Verse 19, we left off at 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Believer, you see Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. I like I guess most of you knew that Sister Beth Haverson passed away this past week, and they had her funeral Friday. But when they announced it, they said that they were going to celebrate her homegoing. She was not dead; she was alive. No, she was dead, but yet you know we know what they meant by that. Ye, and because I live, ye shall live also. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Well, if Christ is in the Father, and the believer is in Christ, and Christ is in the believer, then the Father is in the believer. And He'd already said He's going to give the Holy Spirit. So as we already said, the whole Trinity is involved in this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So what do we see here? We see that the Holy Spirit is given to us, and when we say the Holy Spirit is given to us, the whole triune God is given to the believer to lead and guide him into truth. God is not going to lead and guide a believer into untruth. If I preach something to you and it's not true according to the Bible, that's my fault. That's not God's. That's the reason you're supposed to know your Bible, to know whether I preach, whether it's true or not. Dropping down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice that. That's knowledge. The Holy Spirit is going to take the things that I have already, taught you, and He's going to bring those things that I've taught you to your remembrance. How many times have you been maybe reading the Bible or reading some other book, good book, or maybe just in prayer and meditation? And then all of a sudden you say, hey, I remember a certain preacher preached about that many years ago. Now that makes sense. You know what happened? The Spirit of God took that and brought it to your remembrance. But He wouldn't bring to your remembrance what you'd never been taught. You can't remember what you never knew. You just learned something new. But when you remember something, It's something that's been there before. You've been taught. And many a times, the preacher will preach, and the congregation may not get anything out of it until sometime later. Yeah, I remember that. I remember what he said. Now that makes sense. Yeah, I remember. Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. Drop on over into the 15th chapter of John. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for my fear for his friends. For ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Are you a friend of God? Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You see, God, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, makes known to His people the things of God. This is by the Holy Spirit. Naturally, in the 16th chapter, verse 13 again. And now let's go to let's go to the 16th chapter. There's another passage here. Well, let's before we leave the 15th chapter. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted you, they will also persecute. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You know the reason people persecute Christians? Because they don't know God. They don't know the true God. They don't know the Father of Christ. And the reason people will not give heed to the Word of God when you try to teach them that? Very likely, same reason. Now dropping down to the 16th chapter. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Then dropping down to the 13th verse, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Again, this is the reason that Paul prayed for them to have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of God. And the Spirit of God comes and He leads and guides His children into the truth. People say, well, no, he was only talking about the apostles. Well, let's just throw all the book of John out then. Let's say Paul was writing to the Ephesians. Well, let's just throw the book of Ephesians out. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Well, let's just throw out 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you're going to do that, we're going to throw everything out because God didn't write an epistle to us here in Oak Ridge. This is for God's people. The Spirit of truth will guide you into truth, for he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit of God, when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not draw attention to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people say, oh, we were just filled with the Spirit and the Spirit really came and the Spirit really blessed us and we just really enjoyed the Spirit and we this and we that, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. Based on this verse, I question that was the Holy Spirit. I think it's if more of their own spirit stirred up in emotionalism. Because the Spirit of truth will not speak of himself. He speaks of Christ. He speaks of God. The Holy Spirit is going to work in the heart of a believer to magnify Christ, not to magnify the Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind. Always remember that. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. Jesus said it point blank. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Therefore we need to realize and know and keep in mind that when the Spirit of God comes upon a believer and is there in the believer, he's going to lead and guide him into the truth. And when you pray for somebody to have wisdom and understanding, and when you want somebody to grow in the knowledge of to grow in God and to grow in the service of God, it's going to come through knowledge. It's going to come through the knowledge of God. It's going to come through the knowledge of God. Let me say this. I'll probably say more about it this afternoon too. We live in troublesome times. I'm not denying that. And I'm not denying the fact that we need to understand the times. And for those out there that do not know me and may hear this, yes, I believe I would be classified a conspiracy theorist individual. There have been men trying to bring in a one world government for centuries. They tried it at Babel when they tried to build a tower to heaven and God divided the languages, divided the people. This idea of a one world government is trying to go against what God did. God divided the nation. Paul said on a sermon on Mars Hill, that God made all of the nations of one blood. God made the nations and the bounds of their habitations. And the idea of bringing everybody under one world government is contrary to the Word of God. But the Babel tried to do it. The Assyrian Empire tried to do it. The Babylonian Empire tried to do it. The Medes and the Persian Empire was at it. The Grecian Empire was doing the same thing. The Ottoman Empire, they tried it. And then you had the British Empire, they tried it. The American Empire now, and it's falling apart. And so you've got, it's nothing new. The idea of a conspiracy and all of that. This whole idea is that's nothing new. And there are more books out there for people to read than you can even read in a lifetime about all of this. I read a few in the 70s, and even read a few more in the 80s. And every once in a while I may pick up one and scan one that's written today, but everything that you read today is basically said back then. Same thing. They just had different players. What am I saying? As Christians, we do not need to spend our time reading and studying about all of that. We need to spend our time reading and studying and learning about God. That's where we're going to have the wisdom to know how to live in the midst of a wicked society. You can read a book on Islam. You can read a book on terrorism. You can read a book on the Bilderbergers. You can read one on the Bohemian Society. You can read one on the Illuminati. You can read one on the House of Rothschild. You can read one on the pharmaceutical industries. They have their cartels. Bayer Aspirin, Bayer Pharmaceuticals, BASF Pharmaceutical, and one others went together in World War II and built a cartel and paid Hitler to build Auschwitz and the gas chambers. That was before they used the gas chambers on the Jews. They did it to build and take their prisoners to make their pharmaceuticals for them and experiment on them, and then they built the gas chambers, paid them the money to build the gas chambers to exterminate and cremate the people that they run the experiments on and killed. That was brought out in the Nuremberg trial, but you didn't hear that on news every day, did you? And I didn't even know about it until about a month ago. And I was not reading conspiracy stuff. I was reading about natural alternatives to cancer treatment. The pharmaceuticals do not want cancer cured. But you can read and study all of that stuff all you want to, and it will not draw you closer to God. It'll paralyze you. It'll cause you to lay awake at night and sleep. Cause you to try to figure out, what can I do? How much water do I need? How much peanut butter and crackers do I need? How much peanut butter do I need? How much this do I need? How much that do I need? How can I do this? How can I do that? Most people can't do anything. And I'm not saying don't do anything. If you can, do what you can. Because a tornado could come through and you might be without utilities, but be without water and heat and light for they had an ice storm, I know, not too long ago, a few years ago, down in Mississippi. Some of them were without power for about 3 weeks. Yeah, I believe in being prepared. And pray you never have to use it. Just like insurance on a car. We have insurance. I pray I never have to use it. But my point is this. Well, it's just like driving a car. Many a times I've been driving down a highway on the interstate, 70 miles an hour, and thinking about there's only a little old piece of wire holding my tire on my car. Called a Carter key. Or it used to be, going through and holds the wheel on the hub. That thing were to break, your wheel fly off. We pass by cars every day, back and forth, high rates of speed. You sit and you worry about that and think about what might happen, or you may not even get out of bed and go to work. My point is, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We need to put our time and our energy into reading good books about God. We need to put our time and energy into knowing the Word of God and drawing near to God. Well, like I said, we'll say more about that this afternoon, but just an added thought about this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The word Spirit does not always indicate the Holy Spirit either. Now, I'm not saying that that's not the case here. I'm saying that it could include like the disposition or the attitude. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul told the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5, in verse 3, talking about excommunicating this man for having unlawful sex. For I verily, as absent in body, this is verse 3, 1 Corinthians 5, 3, but present in spirit. Now, how was Paul present in spirit? In other words, I've got the same attitude and disposition. I'm present in spirit. In other words, I believe like you do. Have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord. In other words, what's he saying? And my spirit. When you've come together and you've got the same attitude, you've got the same disposition about this that I do, exclude that man. So this could be have some bearing on Ephesians 1:17. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the attitude of spirit, or the attitude of wisdom and the attitude of revelation, the disposition of wisdom and revelation. But even if it is that, it still comes through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. You're not going to... And it's going to come to the same thing. In other words, you're not going to have wisdom and understanding in the things of God and how to carry on in this world without the knowledge of God and His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that we have something clear that tells us what it is You would have us to know. It's not left up for some individual with high spiritual, mystic powers and understanding. No, the Word of God is given to us in the common language of the people. And we all can read it. We all know what it says if we have sense enough to be able to read and to put thoughts together from words. We know what You have said. We thank You for it. Bless us to hide Thy Word in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee, and that we might grow in Thy grace and knowledge. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.